I'd like to share a message this morning. I know some things about you. Scary? When I text Marge the title for the bulletin, she said, "Ooh, that sounds kind of scary." A few weeks ago, I shared a message that so much of what we think we know is actually assumption. We are sure we know, but we really don't, oftentimes. And that was a lot in relation to people's motives, to people's, the things that people do, and so on. This morning I'm focusing more on some things about that are actually true about each one of us, and I want us to think about them personally. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm not going to start listing some things I know about you. I did think of one thing. I thought about Tom. Something that you may not know, many of you wouldn't know, that in the early 70s, Tom had an aneurysm and almost passed away. Was in the hospital for a number of days. And I'm glad the Lord spared him and used him over the years. But there's things that we know about each other. Some of them might be good. Some of them might be bad. Some of them might be just reality. But I just had to think about all of this. So it's not just knowing about you, but it's about me too. It used to be a question that, backing up here. Didn't I have a slide there with the questions on, Joshua? Don't see it. Okay, we'll just go with them this way. I'm sorry. Got that mixed up there. It used to be a question that was often asked when I grew up in the South. When you'd meet somebody, they'd say, "Well, what do you know for sure?" And I always kind of liked that question. I think it's a good question. It's a good springboard to share the gospel off of. It's something that works really well in thinking about people. But I'd like for us to think this morning about, what do I know for sure? Another thing that I'd like us to think about is, what do you know about yourself? Oops, sorry, I'm getting... sorry about that. What do you know about yourself? I'm guessing, this is more than just a guess. This is a pretty educated guess. I'm quite sure that you know some things about yourself that nobody else knows. Am I right? Yeah, I see quite a few of you kind of smiling and nodding your heads a little bit. What do you know about others? What is there about others that you know? I already talked about this a little bit, but would you like me to share publicly the things that I know about you? Would you like to share publicly the things that you know about me? Might get a little embarrassing. Might get a little uncomfortable. Did you know that someday everything that you've ever done will be told to the world unless it's under the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know that? You might think there's some things in your life that are under the rug somewhere, but they're known. The Lord knows about them. And if you don't take those things to the Lord and allow Him to wash them away by the blood of Jesus Christ, someday they're going to be proclaimed to the world. So I'd like us to just think about some things this morning that I know about you, and it's about me too, that will give us something to think about. I know that you and I will get ourselves in deep trouble. I mean deep trouble. If we try to call our own shots. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. And when he says the way of man, what he goes on and explains that, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. There's two things that he mentions in that verse. He mentions the way, and he mentions the steps. The way is the direction we're walking. The steps are each individual step that we take. We do not have the ability within ourselves to direct either one. And I know this from the Word of God, which is stated plainly here. I know it from experience, and I know it from observation. And I think every one of you, if you stop and think, know it from the same perspectives as well. How many of us have watched someone and watched them go the way they wanted to go, and we knew exactly where it was going to end up? And they said, oh, no, it won't. I'm not going there. Goes there, doesn't it? It's not in man. It's not within us to direct our way or our steps. And so Proverbs says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. That's a lot different, isn't it? I know that you don't know the half. I had to think about the Queen of Sheba when she came to see Solomon. She came, she had heard how great Solomon's kingdom was. She had heard about all these things. And she showed up one day, and she brought all this stuff with her. She brought spices, she brought all kinds of things with her. And Solomon showed her his kingdom. She watched him deal in wisdom with his people. She saw how his people loved him. And she saw the awesome riches and all of that. And she said, and it says when she was done, she said, I didn't even hear the half. I didn't even begin to hear all there was about you. Now, I talked about this a little bit in the last message. If we knew half of what we think we know, we'd know a lot. Right? I think I know about you. You think you know about me. And we have all these ideas going on in our mind, but really we don't know the half. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, where Paul talks about love. He says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know all that much. It doesn't matter whether it's related to others or whether it's related to God and the things of God. We really don't know all that much. Someone has illustrated it this way, and I think it's very appropriate. When your sphere of knowledge is this big, and I'm not talking about a zero, I'm talking about size. If your sphere of knowledge is this big, the unknown is the part around the outside where your knowledge touches the unknown. Your unknown is very small, right? If your sphere of knowledge is this big, your unknown has increased exponentially. And when your sphere of knowledge increases even more, your unknown increases more. Now, we know more in each situation, right? Our knowledge has increased tremendously. But the more our knowledge increases, the more our contact with the unknown increases. So we have to remember that we only know in part. And I think it bears stating, if we think we know so much, it's a pretty good indication that our knowledge is really small. Stop and think about it. The more we come in contact, the more we experience, the more we relate to others, the more we observe, the more we deal with life situations, the more we realize we don't know. We need someone to direct us. We need someone to guide us. We need someone to open our understanding and help us to see clearly what reality is. I know that no matter how hard you or I try, we cannot attain to God's standard without His Spirit working in our hearts. It is impossible. Impossible. Totally. Totally not possible. Romans chapter 7, 18. Paul says this, I know that in me, that is, inside of my flesh, within me, dwells no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But then he goes on in chapter 8, verse 1, and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you see that within us, we cannot please God. We cannot perform to God's standard within ourselves. And I think that's where so many people that confess Christianity get so frustrated. They're guiding their own way. They're directing their own steps. They're trying to please God, and it's not happening, and they get frustrated. Why can I not please God? Why can I not live the way God wants me to live? Stop directing your own steps. Stop taking your own way. Allow His Spirit to speak into your heart and life and guide you and show you the way. And the frustration is gone. Not that we don't deal with it anymore, but we found an answer. We found hope. We found confidence through the presence of God in our lives. I know that I can't control life and all its situations and circumstances, but good will come from them all if I love and trust Almighty God. Do you know that today? If you know that, it gives you a peace and a rest through the difficulties of life that nothing else can give. I know I can't control life. But I know that Romans 8:28 says, all things. What's that word all mean? Some? It's a big word, isn't it? A little bigger than what we can get a hold of, especially when we start dealing with it in these terms. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purposes. Now, if I'm allowing God to direct my way, and I'm allowing God to direct my steps, then all the circumstances of life, no matter how pleasant or no matter how difficult, God is able to use for His glory in some way or other. Don't ask me to explain that. It's part of His sovereignty. It's part of God's ability. It's a little bit like a chess game in one way. The devil has his plans. For those of you that have ever played chess, there's a lot of strategy. Two players play with strategy, and they're trying to bring the other into subjection. Satan is trying to bring God down. But the interesting thing is that every move that Satan makes, God is able to take that move and make it work to bring Satan down. Lynn's been talking about Job. It happens over and over with Job, right? Satan says, well, yeah, sure, it's this and it's that. And God says, no, no, no. Just listen up, pay attention. And again, we see that same thing happening in Job's life. Now, I know that there's some things that are right for me and wrong for others. I know there's some things that are wrong for me and right for others. I want us to be careful here. Not everything comes under that category. There are some things that are right and wrong for everybody. No matter when or where or how, they're always right and they're always wrong. Those things I'm not talking about. But there are a number of things, as I walk with the Lord, that the Lord may ask me to do or not do. And He may not speak to you about it at all, and that's okay. That's okay. Romans chapter 14, verse 14. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. We could go into a lot of areas. I'm not going to go into a lot of details in that, but I just want us to stop and think about it. We tend to think that we need to be all the same in a lot of ways. But I see how the Lord takes and leads us in our steps. He does not lead every one of us in the same steps. I don't think He's asked any of you to go teach in Nepal. But He asked me to do that. He hasn't asked me to be on the board at Gospel Express, but He's asked Sheldon to do that. Does that make it wrong for me and right for Sheldon, or wrong for Sheldon, right for me, because we're asked to do different things? Because God is calling us to something different from each other? Of course not. So we've got to stop and think about this. God wants to direct our way. There are some things that are right and wrong, no matter what time, no matter what place, no matter what person. The Bible makes those clear. But there are many things that we need to listen to what God wants us to do. What is He asking you to do or not do as a follower of His? You remember when Peter and John were there, and the Lord kept telling Peter, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs. And Peter was having a real hard time with that. The Lord kept talking to him over and over and over. And finally, he looked over at John and he said, well, what do you want this guy to do? And the Lord said, if I want him to sit there till I come back, what's it matter to you? You do what I say. And so it's interesting, it says there that the saying went on that John wasn't going to see death until the Lord came back. They misinterpreted what the Lord was saying. But our goal as Christians is to be followers of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, He has the right to ask me to do something different than He asks you to do. And we have to be okay with that. We have to allow Him to direct our steps. I know this body is temporal, and a far better one awaits me. Now, I've put a couple pictures up there, and they don't do well at describing that. But in our Western setting, it's obvious that the house up in the top corner is a lot more house than the house in the bottom corner. Right? We would look at that and we'd say, oh, no comparison. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, our body, if it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If this body's dissolved, we have a far better house. This house is temporal. It gets old, it wears out, it decays, it gets diseases, it dies. The house that he has waiting for us, in which we'll live eternally, is not, he's not talking about a building, he's talking about our spiritual body. That eternal home of the soul, where we will live with Christ forever. We have that building of God, eternal in the heavens. So I know this body is temporal. The things that I do here only have value if my way and my steps are directed by God. If I've walked my own way, I've taken my own steps, then when I die, those things are wasted. They're gone. If I've followed the way of Christ and walked in His steps, then something better waits for me. So we've got to keep that in mind. It's something that we know. I know that even if I don't understand much about the future, I will be like God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Sound good to you? It does to me. I thought of something very interesting here. What did Satan say over in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14? It's talking about Lucifer. What did Satan say that he wanted to do? I will be like the Most High. And he was cast out of heaven because of that. Isn't it interesting? Satan came to Adam and Eve and he said, if you'll do this as I tell you, you will be like God, like gods. And they followed him, and what happened? They got cast out of the garden. They were immediately under the curse of death. But now, John comes along and he says, beloved, fellow believers, those who are walking in the way of Christ, now are we the sons of God. We can't see what we're going to look like, but we know that when He comes, we are going to be like Him. That's awesome. That is awesome. We will be like Him. The exact thing that Satan wanted to be, the exact thing that Adam and Eve wanted to be, the exact thing that everyone who directs their own way and their own steps wants to be, right? I want to be like God. They don't say it that way. They don't think of it that way while they're directing their way and their steps. But that's really what it amounts to down inside. I know that Jesus Christ has given mankind the way to God. 1 John chapter 5, 20. And by the way, I didn't mention this, two of these verses that I've used here are from 1 John. And one of the words that is very big, it's the main word of 1 John, is know. Know. K-N-O-W. 1 John. John writes, I write this so that you may know. So that you may know. If you think something, but you're not doing this, you can know that you're a liar. He just goes over this over and over about this knowing thing. So if you read 1 John, just pay attention to that word. It's a very important one. We know that the Son of God is come, that's Jesus Christ, and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. He said, the Son of God has come and He's given us an understanding that we may know Him. In other words, He's given us the way to God. Jesus Christ has opened up the way to glory. He's opened the possibility of returning to the God who we left. You see, it's so clear. Here were Adam and Eve, and here is you and I. We go down our own way. We take our own steps, and every one of them leads us away from God. Oh, we think within ourselves that we are in control, that we are God, that we've got it figured out. But when Jesus Christ comes and touches our lives and we say, Lord, I want You to be my Lord and Savior, my Master, and we allow Him to guide us in His way and direct our steps, He gives us what we really, really were longing for all along. He leads us to God. He gives us the way to God. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Do you know these things? Are they part of your life? Are they something that's working daily in your life and experience? What about your life and mine? What about my way? What about my steps? Are they leading me with Christ to God? Or are they leading me in the way that I want to go? And I'm my own God, and I'm going to be what I want to be and do what I want to do, and I'm still going to make it. No, sorry, it doesn't work that way. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You. You've been so good to us. You've given us so many, many, many opportunities. Multitudes, almost a third of our world population has never heard Your name. Many more do not have the privilege of having Your word. And many more do not have the privilege, Lord, of knowing Your salvation, of allowing Your Spirit to show us the way and guide our steps. And Father, I pray that by Your Spirit You speak to each of our hearts. You know our needs. We confess. I confess, Lord, before You this morning, I'm a needy creature, very needy. I need everything that You have to offer. I have nothing of my own to offer. Within me dwells no good thing. I know that, Lord. And I pray that You speak to each of our needs. You know each one of us. You know where we are. You know where our steps are. You know which way we're in. You know all about us. We thank you that you have given us the privilege to come and to be with you and to be like you. We who are so unlike you, oh God, we thank you. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.